What's the one where the ocean just decides to be on land for a while?
Tsunami.
Hate that. Hate that.
There are good movies and there are great movies, but that's not what we watch here because this is shitty cinema.
When some wild-eyed 8-foot-tall maniac grabs your neck, taps the back of your favorite head up against the barroom wall, and he looks crooked in the eye and he asks you if you paid your dues, you just stare that big sucker right back in the eye, and you remember what old Jack Burton always says at a time like that. Have you paid your dues, Jack? Yes, sir, the check is in the mail.
We are three film masochists who love to take on the worst movies we can find, centered around our monthly theme to answer one simple question. Would you watch it again? I'm Jay, and I'm joined by Jack Burton.
Hello.
Casey.
No contacts needed.
And Dave. Every week, one of us has to pick a movie based on that month's theme. What's this month's theme, Casey?
You know, sometimes you don't have the time to do homework. Maybe you're playing, I don't know, some kind of game in the rain in a shanty in San Francisco. You know, San Francisco. Everybody calls it that. We didn't do our homework, so we are just going to watch any movie our little hearts desire. Last week, I brought She's the Man because fuck you. I wanted to.
You know what? Thank you for saying it.
Fuck you.
You really danced around it for a long time last week.
I wanted to. Jay, fuck us. What did you want to watch this week?
I wanted to go back to July 2nd, 1986, a really, really important day, because on that day, the film Big Trouble in Little China was released, and that's what we watched.
I was basically a harbinger.
Yeah.
For that film.
True. That's what everybody says.
Everybody says that about me.
All right. Well, Jay, before we get ahead of ourselves, you need to give us an elevator pitch where you sell us on this movie in 10 seconds or less. Here's your setup. I told you you cannot drive a 20-foot U-Haul. I told you. I told you get the 14-foot.
Sure, I can. Sure, I can.
On top of that, this was your first time trying Waze instead of Google Maps, and it's real aggressive. You survived the turn through someone's yard, but it just took you through Chinatown, and it's way too sharp for you. So there's...
No.
Yeah, you've just taken a turn that you cannot back your way out of. And unfortunately, it's taken you right into the middle of an impending kung fu battle. So you've got 10 seconds before you're caught in the middle of this kung fu battle. And the time before that happens, sell us on this movie.
Oh, can't fail idea. Let's do a trucker kung fu action monster oriental mythicism western starring Snake Plissken.
7 seconds, and yeah, I'm on board. Absolutely. I will buy that movie.
I think someone else should have pitched it. You would have gotten that movie.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you. Casey, you know, if I'm barreling through this, you didn't so much as let me rent the U-Haul as, you know, I encouraged you to drink that entire fifth, and now you were really sleepy, and so I just kind of lofted you into the U-Haul with me. So in 10 seconds, you're going to be thrown through the window and bounce on the street. Fortunately, you're hammered, so you have that drunk reflex. You're going to just bounce up fine.
The rag doll.
Correct. So in the 10 seconds before you wake up on the street and very confused and probably a little upset at all of the people making all of that noise around you, sell us on this movie.
Kurt Russell is a long-haul trucker that spends half his scenes in an elevator and the other half saving his BFF's boo. The most magical part? 7-foot James Hong, of course.
8 seconds!
That was the most fantastical part. They were saying at any point that James Hong was 7 feet tall.
Yeah,
he looked like 5'11 max.
He had platforms
on. I don't know how
on.
Tall he is. He just looked like regular tall guy. He didn't look like he was towering. Like, is everybody else 6'5"?
All right, before we have too much fun with James Hong and Kurt Russell, let's go over the movie that Shitty Cinema watched. Jack Burton is a blowhard trucker that wins big from his friend Wang Chi in some card games. To make sure that Wang pays, Jack accompanies him to the airport to pick up his girlfriend, Miao Yin.
At the airport, a local gang shows up, and instead of kidnapping their intended victim, they snag Miao Yin. When Jack and Wang pursue the gang, the duo ends up in Chinatown during a West Side Story event. But not just between two rival gangs, a few Raiden motherfuckers show up and summon rain and lightning and all kinds of shit.
Jack tries to escape and runs over David Lopan, the primary villain, with his damn semi. Lopan just pops back up, though, and Jack runs down an alley to escape. So the gang decides to repossess Jack's truck.
To rescue Miao Yin and get Jack's truck back, they team up with some friends, a reporter, and the magician Egg Shen. Together, the group breaks into a brothel and almost rescues Miao Yin before the Raiden son of a bitches steal her away.
Miao Yin is the rare kind of Chinese woman that has green eyes. David Lopan wants to marry her because he's actually a couple thousand-year-old undead sorcerer, and marrying a woman with green eyes and then sacrificing her will make him human again. And apparently, he's also never heard of Ireland.
He also is the worst sugar daddy. You're supposed to die. You're old. No.
Jack and Wang get captured, infiltrating David Lopan's place, but then escape and free all the women he kept in cages. But Lopan's men capture Gracie, a friend of Jack and Wang's, who also has green eyes.
David Lopan gets the smart idea to marry both of them, but only sacrifice Gracie, so he still gets to keep a wife, because I guess that's how it works, right?
David Lopan gets his wedding prep down, including decorating his creepy underground lair and a wonderful wedding dress for himself. Treat yourself, girl. You deserve it.
Do you think they really took the time to make neon lights around ancient statues?
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
real.
What
that was
henchman?
Real... No.
What henchman got sent on that errand? Not one of the weirdos with the hats.
I assume there was a scene with the terrified interior decorator.
Jack and crew drink a potion made by Egg Shen and interrupt the wedding. Wang does most of the work, but since David Lopan had consumed some of Miao Yan's blood, he had become human again, and Jack does get to kill him. Which is about the only thing in the film that Jack doesn't bungle.
The remaining Raiden bitches bring the place down until Wang kills them. They find Jack's truck and escape. Everyone's happy, Wang and Miao Yin are going to marry, other side characters get a love interest, and Jack has his love interest, his truck.
The final scene is Jack talking into a CB, presumably to nobody, and we pan back where one of the creatures that he fought is hanging on the back of his rig. Ba-ba-ba-ba!
Okay, but do we ever go back to the beginning scene where Egg Shen is talking to a lawyer and showing him how lightning works?
No! No, like, No, I'm glad you brought that up, though, that scene.
It bothered me so much, because, like, wait, we never got back to the lawyer scene.
So
why was that how they introduced the movie? It was completely unnecessary.
I'm so glad that you asked. That is a prime example of the studio interference, because they were worried that people would watch it and think Jack Burton wasn't the hero of the film. And Kurt Russell and John Carpenter were like, he's not the hero of the film.
Yeah.
But the producer wanted him to be. And so they made them put that intro scene where he's like, oh, Jack saved us and blah, 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 blah. And then they cut and they show Jack being a fucking bumbling turd throughout the entire film.
So let's give a little more context, since we certainly didn't include it in our fucking plot because it's not needed to be there. The movie opens with Egg Shen.
Mystical,
the tour guide and magician.
And like real magic, not like illusionist.
Yeah, not
he's not Penn and Teller. He's
sorcerer
to Merlin. Yeah, sorcerer.
Egg Shen, the sorcerer, is being interviewed by the CIA or police, who knows, some random authority figure with a dimly lit all metal room.
Yeah, it was like the San Francisco PD.
I thought it was a lawyer.
And whoever it is that's interviewing him is asking him about some sort of crimes, and he's telling them about the story of Jack Burton, our protagonist of this film. And then he demonstrates, right, yeah, we'll get to that. Then he demonstrates real goddamn magic to these authority figures. He summons lightning between his palms, which he proceeds to say is minor magic, and then really doesn't do anything more impressive than that unaided throughout the rest of the film. So, like, fuck you, that was minor.
So, like, that makes me wonder, does he just, like, kill them by the end of the interaction? He's like, I'm out of here. Bomb.
Oh, yeah. That was the real end of that
scene. He threw a lot of, like, grenades. He just Kaiser-sosayed
that whole scene. No, the director's cut of this film, we do go back to that at the end of the film, and it's him narrating the end of it as he's, like, smoking a cigarette or something. And then as he gets up to leave and the camera pans back, everybody else in the room is, like, lasered to death.
Blood everywhere.
It's just, oh,
I just picture
wow.
him eating a sandwich, like, finishing a sandwich.
Okay, if the film was sandwiched in between that, that would have been fucking spectacular.
Yeah.
But also, I think brilliant. That they should have been bringing up drug charges on Egg Shen, because I'm pretty sure the drinks he made before they went into battle was Hennessy, Hypnotic, and cocaine.
Incredible
because
Hulk.
That elevator ride, the most Incredible Hulk. The elevator ride down to the final fight scene, everybody just starts twitching and bouncing and is like, oh, yeah. feel real good.
Kurt Russell does a whole thing about how he feels invincible and he feels great. And then he starts asking questions of, like, is it getting hot in here? And I'm really glad that elevator ride wrapped up quickly, because I think clothes were going to start coming off shortly.
He already weirdly took his clothes off all the time. Like, as soon as they, like, got into the basement of the castle, he takes off his jean jacket. And then immediately it starts, like, he just strips the whole time. He had a poncho. He took that off in a fucking alley. And I don't know why, because I loved that poncho. I was like, the whole time I was like, fuck, I want that so bad.
He's really, Kurt Russell throughout this movie is really eager to show off how good he looks in a tank top. And
and he does.
The scene that really bothered me for it was when they were in the elevator and it starts filling up with water, because he had just taken off his jean jacket to expose himself in the tank top and threw it on the ground. And the elevator starts slowly filling up with salt water. And he makes no attempt to grab his jacket before it's completely soaked through with water, like any reasonable person would upon, like, saying, like, oh,
no, he's a toddler.
Yeah. Like, oh.
It was cold. I'm not cold anymore. Right. Fuck this coat. I'm leaving
I'm
it in
it.
This
Guess
park.
The guns are staying out from now on, guys.
The one that drove me nuts is the one that Casey mentioned, where he's crawling through a fucking tunnel and he stops to take his shirt off while escaping the gang.
A gang!
In a tiny tunnel that he can barely fit in, and he fucking peels his shirt off. Why?
I figured he was going to, like, try and Bugs Bunny him, like, wait for him. You know, they pop
in
out
a
of the
different
other
outfit.
End, and they're like, oh, wait, no, that guy was wearing a different shirt.
Yes.
One person can't wear two shirts.
Or you could have Jackie Chan'd it, right? Where he could have, like, used it when somebody came out after him to wrap him up.
I was going to say pee on his jacket.
Why?
Because.
To what
Jackie
end?
Jackie Chan pisses some pants, and then when they're wet, he uses them to
You saw Jackie
bend
Chan
the
break
bars.
Out of prison one time with peeing on something. It does not mean it's general purpose weaponry.
Can I ruin you again with some studio interference?
Yeah, absolutely.
They didn't let them pee on anything.
Since you mentioned Jackie Chan was originally the person that they wanted for Wang Chi's role, and the producer was like, his English sucks. Nobody's going to want to watch that. I know, right? Fuck you.
I'm almost.
But I want Kurt Russell and Jackie Chan in 1986.
Absolutely, especially because of what Jackie Chan would have demanded in terms of, like,
action,
stunt doubles
action.
And action and fight sequences along with it.
Right.
And I feel like Kurt would have shown up to play for that.
Correct.
And
yes.
I would have
and
really
John Carpenter
have
would have
that.
Loved it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely would have liked to have seen that.
In another lifetime. Oh, my God. That would have been incredible. That would have been a damn near perfect film.
I'm saying.
The studio interference on this is just, you can feel it in every fucking frame of the goddamn movie. because I one thing that I really liked when I was reading about this was John Carpenter said that he wanted to make something that was specifically inverting the stereotype of the strong Caucasian superhero and his minority sidekick. So he was just going to have an idiot guy who like straight up knocks himself out in one of the climactic battles with a surprisingly competent minority sidekick.
Yes.
That's what they wanted to make with this, was to have Jack Burton be a bumbling idiot and Wang Chi be the like actual competent like protagonist of the film.
I think it mostly works. Wang Chi does do some ass beating, and you know, Jack Burton is got all of the unearned confidence and bravado and bumbles. Absolutely. His like almost every one of his successes is almost always luck.
You'd rather be lucky than good, baby.
That's fair. That's fair. I would also rather be lucky than good.
I've called him now a couple times an idiot Huckleberry because it was my name for him throughout this movie, because he generally has no idea what's going on, but he is down to clown for whatever is going on.
So I got like, this is how I imagined Jay's dad was at like 25. I 100% of the lines Jack Burton yells in this movie, I've heard your dad say. It's very close to something he would say.
That's fair.
I was love it. And I mean that in the best way possible. Like, I was getting strong.
Yeah, he's
like,
not,
all right, this is ridiculous. Yeah. Somebody better explain later, but we're going to fucking do, we'll get in this bar fight. We will get in this bar fight.
I'm confused. I'm angry. I'm going along with you, but I would eventually like some answers at some point along the way.
Somebody owes me a beer.
One of my favorite Jack Burton lines is when he goes, that was not real and I want to talk to the cops. After experiencing actual fucking magic and like having his shit stolen. And it's a very, very human. I would feel that like, fuck all of this shit that just happened to me. I just watched a West Side Story end with Raiden motherfuckers shooting lightning and my fucking truck got stolen and I was blinded by James Hong, a 7-foot James Hong with laser beam eyes. But also, I just want to get the fuck out of here.
And I want to go to bed. And I want to drink beer. And I want to eat cake.
Yeah.
And I want to cry. And I want to shower.
I wanted to say it's almost accidentally doing something I really like. But I think actually, considering it's John Carpenter, it was totally intentional. Because there's something I really like that I think the Hollywood producers didn't get is the difference between a main character and a protagonist. Because most movies, they are the same thing, but not necessarily, right? Sometimes the protagonist is the one who is actually, like, moving the story along. And the main character, who is the one who is just positioned correctly to translate it to you, the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah!
Hollywood fucks these up every fucking time we make these movies. Tom Cruise was not The Last Samurai. He's just the idiot properly positioned to tell you the story of Ken Watanabe. But Hollywood fucking hates that. Main character has to be the protagonist. But I think John Carpenter gets the difference between that, and that's what this was supposed to be. Jack Burton, main character. Idiot properly positioned to tell us the story of Chang Mi and Miao Yin and, you know, the rest of this insanity.
This movie was not what I expected. I expected parts of it. So I expected the like kung fu, the ridiculous 80s Kurt Russell.
The kung fu.
I did not expect, but I should have because it was 1986, that we were going to have fucking puppets. Why do we have to have puppets?
Are you talking about the Yeti
the eyeball
thing
and the Yeti?
Oh, okay. So the eyeball thing is like a beholder, but it also has an eye in the mouth and an eye where its nose should be, and it doesn't do anything except for spy.
And lick like an itself with its eyeball tongue.
Yeah, it's real fucking uncomfortable.
It's so unnecessary. It is completely unnecessary.
Wow.
They could have done that a different way.
You could also say, why do we have to have puppets? Because it's a John Carpenter movie.
And it's 1986.
He's the puppet guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have, like, Jim Henson for the happy puppets, and we have John Carpenter for the shit-yourself puppets.
Do you not remember like The Thing? John Carpenter presents The Thing?
The puppets in this, both the, like, eyeball beholder thing floating around and the Yeti thing, they don't exactly add anything necessary to the film.
I think,
honestly, we were just a little short on runtime and they needed to stretch things out a bit. Because this is not an overlong film.
No. It is paced. At a pace.
Yeah.
That is not slow.
Stuff happens pretty quick here.
Yeah, I noticed that. They kind of pull you by your wrist.
Right. I like the fact that the movie doesn't feel a need to stop and explain what's going on to Jack Burton at every step of the way. And he's expected to just kind of, you know, figure it out and keep up, buddy boy. But also,
he'll get mad and ask sometimes.
It does have a couple of spots that are just exposition dumps. And like Gracie Law's entire character is almost just to be exposition.
And to have green contacts.
Yeah, Gracie Law, she's the reporter.
She's a lawyer.
Green eyes.
Yes. And is always poking her nose where it doesn't belong, according to her.
So, Jay, when we were talking about this earlier, you described Jack Burton as a podcaster.
Yeah. 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 So Jack Burton is the OG podcaster in that both in the beginning of the movie and at the end of the movie, he is just talking on his CB, presumably to nobody, giving advice that nobody needs to hear or commentary that nobody cares about, which is kind of what we do every week, is give commentary
every
that nobody
week.
Cares about.
Number one, how dare you? Number two, I'm not saying you're wrong. In my notes, I referred to him as Trucker Alex Jones. Because specifically what he's spouting off into his CB is some very like, the storm is coming, and I whispered back, I am the storm bullshit.
But he's the pork chop or something, right?
The pork chop express.
The pork chop express.
Which I love.
I am the pork chop express.
Yeah. But, you know, if you're ever doing a D&D campaign and you need a monologue for your villain, looking up Jack Burton's CB radio rants in this is not a bad call. There's some bangers in there.
There really are. And Kurt Russell delivers them with gusto. He really...
Perfectly.
Yeah, like, I don't know exactly how to characterize that acting, but he nails it.
Yeah, he's doing a very fucking John Wayne thing throughout this that it's not an accent I've necessarily heard from him before or since, but man, for as ridiculous as the lines are as he's asked to deliver, the man commits to them completely.
100%.
It's like Country Valley Boy.
It's weird.
It's a very strange mix of the rhythm of the way he says things and the weird idioms he uses.
If we're not back by dawn, call the president.
Right, like, knock, knock, to get to the other side of the road.
Jack Burton has a lot of characteristics that remind me of people that I knew, and so I feel like I've known people that talked like that and said those sorts of things, and it feels like the sort of person that would do what Jack Burton does that's just super overconfident about themselves, so it works for me.
But also, those are always the people you want to call in a fight.
Like I told my last wife, I says, honey, I never drive faster than I can see. Besides that, it's all in the reflexes. What does that even mean, Jack?
I don't know.
That's his superpower, is he has great reflexes.
True. That's true.
He stops himself from going backwards down a well.
No, that's just luck.
In a wheelchair.
Really? Oh,
that
no,
is luck and
grab.
Reflexes because
right.
he grabs
right.
the
You're
wheels
right.
when the wheels get stuck
right.
and catches himself.
Yeah.
It's all in the reflexes. He catches the bottle when Chang almost hits him in the face with it. He throws the knife back at James Wong or
yeah,
James
that's
Hong.
The foreshadowing for the ending, right?
Right. But that's. His arc is he's
That's
got
true.
Really good reflexes.
Yeah, he's just an idiot who's great at catching shit.
Yes.
It should. It really, in hindsight, God, Dave, you got me thinking about the difference between the protagonist and the main character. And it should be obvious because Wang Chi grows in the film.
Oh,
and,
yeah. He has
and Jack Burton
arc.
Doesn't.
Right.
Jack Burton is literally the exact same thing in the beginning as he is in the end, which they show by mirroring him doing the same thing. And even his love interest arc returns him because he's like, ah, people get sick of me. And even when they're like, aren't you going to kiss her? He's like, nah.
Yeah.
It just fucking walks out.
Yeah, that end of the movie, he has a clear love interest. And somebody says, God, aren't you even going to kiss her goodbye? And he gives a Han Solo no and walks off like, hey, I'm so fucking cool. No.
That could
dude.
Also be read as he'll be coming back through because he knows people there. Like, he's known there. So it's somewhere he travels through. Like, hey, see you in a few months.
I mean,
well,
it
fuck
is. He,
then.
It's San Francisco, and he goes there because Wang Chi is his friend, and they talk about him, you know, coming through. So he
yeah, so I think
be,
it was like, no, I'm not going to kiss her goodbye because it's not goodbye, but also I'm going to be a slut out on the road.
Right, maybe. Okay, right. Because I was going to say, maybe he is going to, like, grow as a person now, and he is going to come back and start to put down roots. But then they also immediately show him right back to podcasting in his truck while he goes down the highway. So clearly, no, not really. He hasn't really grown much. He was just there the whole time as an audience surrogate to translate the story of what was actually going on in Chinatown, which could have actually been a really cool way of framing it as like, oh, all of this is this like insular thing that they never let happen outside of Chinatown. And he's the rare outsider that was just in the right place and friends with the right person.
Right,
and stumbled
kind of
into
like
this.
Kind of like Christian Slater in
Stop talking
Interview
about
with the Vampire.
Stop it.
Interview with the Vampire. He's the opener and closer.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes.
That could have been Jack Burton.
Could have been. Okay, here's an idea. And no hate on John Carpenter. I love John Carpenter, but I would love to have seen a different John direct this movie. What if John Woo directed
Woo.
This?
Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo!
I mean, tell me this is... It's not right up John Woo's alley, but it's really adjacent to a lot of John Woo alleys.
Mm-hmm. It is, but also guns in this movie are kind of useless against anyone even approaching a main character.
That's true. That's true.
Like, you know, mostly guns are for posing with and for some, like, background characters in cheap costumes to fall to. And then everybody else moves on to, you know, throwing knives and whatnot.
John Woo loves his guns.
I do. I want the world, though, where it's Jackie Chan with fucking...
Yeah, I mean, Jackie Chan with Kurt Russell and directed by John Woo? Or would that be too much? That might be too much.
We're worth it.
Right? Listen, I just let it be known that if Shitty Cinema were ever to get a time machine, we wouldn't use it to contribute to the world. We would use
Absolutely
it to go back
not,
in time
no.
and construct films of great people that were around each other and adjacent at some period, but we would bring them together. Is
I'm
what
giving
we
my JCVD X-Men movie because that is a crossover I need for my childhood.
Van Damme, Jackie Chan.
We'll do some stuff to help the world. Bruce Lee is going to get to star in Kung Fu.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
You know, that's helping the world.
Yeah, we'd obviously save Bruce Lee's life. I mean, Hitler's probably an important thing, but let's save Bruce Lee. All right, so James Hong, David Lopan, he's our villain. Dave, I suggested, like, does he not know about Ireland and Scotland, where there are lots of green-eyed people?
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
not, you know, tons, but disproportionately so.
Yeah, no, I think he's just kind of, he's been misled because clearly he's under the impression that it has to be a Chinese woman with green eyes. That's what he's been trying to find for all of this time. But then, you know, at the end of roughly Act Two, when Gracie shows up and he's like, you have green eyes and have drifted into my orbit. I wonder. And he tries her blood and it works. So it has literally never occurred to this man in the several thousand years he's been alive to not look outside of his nationality of choice.
I think I would have been trying my way out with a lot of things personally.
Was he just like a recluse? Had he never seen like a basic white bitch before? Like, did he never? Because he had all, like, his skin was like funky. Did well, he like have everybody like grocery shop? And he was super rich, so like everybody grocery shopped and shit for him, and he just.
So that form is that form of him being an old man and like super, you know, modeled and old is just a form he can temporarily assume at times. It takes a lot of energy. He's actually the ghost. He's incorporeal. That's the curse.
Okay, gotcha.
So, okay, so I've got I got to bring up something else from the trivia of this movie, and then I'll circle back to this. So originally, this was not supposed to be set in modern times where Jack Burton was a trucker. It was originally supposed to be a Western where Jack Burton's horse was stolen.
Yes.
And I love that idea. And I would have loved to have seen that one where they were like, oh, well, like, wait, does it have to be a Chinese woman? And he's like, this is 1800s America. Do you think I want to be an immortal Asian dude who banged white women? Absolutely not. They will lynch me every day for a year straight.
No, no, no. No, I'll just wait. I'll wait for a Chinese one with green eyes.
Do you know how many anti-immigration laws there are right now? One. Do you know who they're for? Me.
I guess, all right, so maybe that's why he waited so long. At times yeah, where he was just like, well, I mean, this is going to be worse, to be honest. It was like James Hong has my favorite line in the film. Well, I love all of Jack Burton's fucking rambling soliloquies. At one point, Jack Burton's like, I don't understand. And James Hong retorts with, you were not brought into this world to understand. And it is fucking savage. That is a way to take someone down.
I want that on as a tattoo on my forearm facing me. You know what?
Yeah.
You were brought in to understand.
Some shit for Casey to look at in times of trouble.
Nah, fuck that.
Flowery ass script. You were not brought into this world to understand. Lopan.
So David Lopan has three guardians that are Rain, Thunder, and Lightning. Said so because they have the power to control those things, and they're like superhuman. Also, they were the inspiration for Mortal Kombat's Raiden. And so when I was watching this and I was like, man, I got real big Raiden vibes. Turns out that relationship goes the other way.
Cute. Question. Yeah. The big muscly guy, was he Thunder?
Yeah. He was Thunder. The one that explodes at the end?
Yes.
Yes.
I know Thunder. I have seen him in something before. And at first I was like, maybe it's Against the Drunken Cat. Pause. I'm going to look on Amazon because that might be more accurate.
Between Raiden being inspired by this and Solid Snake being a blatant copy paste of Snake Plissken, I'm really wondering how much of like weird ancillary nerd culture is just directly inspired by Kurt Russell films.
I mean, Solid Snake just is Kurt Russell.
Right. Yeah. It just is Snake Plissken through
Correct.
And through.
Correct.
But also, yeah, of Rain, Thunder, and Lightning, what the fuck is up with Rain? That is, how was that your third? I get where you came from for the like
theme,
the rhythm of it all.
Sure.
But that's not, like, at least Thunder, we've got some loud noises and scary stuff. Lightning
Rain will drown your ass.
Yeah. Well, I think we've said all that we have to say about Big Trouble in Little China. So, Case, it's that time where we do that thing we do every week. 1986's Big Trouble in Little China. Would you watch it again?
This movie is chaotic. Nonsensical, semi-cheaply made in places, a lot of places, and has so much charm. It is silly. It's ridiculous. It doesn't take itself too seriously. The main character is a fucking hoot and a gem. Yes, I absolutely would watch this again.
Whoa!
This is Ashley's favorite movie. She bought
shout out
me.
Ashley.
Shout out to Ashley. She's been on the pod before. She actually got me Jack Burton cologne for Christmas, and I wear it.
That's fucking great.
So I own Jack Burton cologne.
What does it smell like?
Yes. It smells like that
sense.
Attitude.
I'll tell you that.
Yes.
I'll tell you that.
He's Kim Cattrall. Yes, I would absolutely watch this again. I actually just watched it like twice in 2 months. So, Dave, I have a feeling I know the answer, but humor me. Would you watch it again?
Oh, I'm pretty sure you do know the answer. Yeah, this movie, I absolutely adored it as a kid. I have gone back to it, honestly, probably at least every 3 to 5 years since then. And I've enjoyed it still every time. And coming back to it again, I still had an absolute blast with it. None of the Kung Fu is by any means even good. It is cut to hell. It's whatever's going on. The special effects are terrible and cheesy and not even close to John Carpenter's best work.
No.
It is incredibly over the top and convoluted, and Kurt Russell is barely necessary to the film, but dear God, do I just love every fucking second of him. It's very clear that John Carpenter may have had other ideas for who he wanted for Wang Chi in this movie, but Jack Burton is and could only be Kurt Russell, because he just embodies that character so perfectly.
He really does.
I'm absolutely going to be watching Big Trouble in Little China many more times again. Jay, what about you? I know that this is another favorite old movie for you. So, from 1986, Big Trouble in Little China, would you watch it again?
I know one of the themes of this podcast is watching films that I watched in my youth. And this is another one of them. I loved Kurt Russell as Snake Plissken, but this film, Big Trouble Little China, there's something about it. It has such a mishmash of genres. There's bad kung fu in it. And you're right, Dave. None of it is really good, but it's fun. The action is fun. I laugh. I think Kurt Russell is great in it. The story just rambles along so quickly and is such a spectacle that I find myself having fun every time I watch it. And I was actually a little worried. We watched it recently together, Casey and I, and I was like, man, what if she doesn't like it? What if I don't like it? What if I watch this again? And I watched it, and it was just so endearing. I don't know that I
him
ever
in the
will
lipstick?
Not...
We never talked about him in the lipstick. The first time I saw that, I was shrieking with laughter.
And that was an accident. They didn't know that it was going to come off like that. And when it did, they just rolled with it. And Kurt Russell wears that lipstick and delivers those Jack Burton lines so beautifully that yes, I am definitely going to watch Big Trouble in Little China again. So that's it, everyone. The verdict is in. 3 out of 3 of us would watch Big Trouble in Little China. But what about you? Have you seen it? Would you watch it again? Do you disagree with us? Let us know on Facebook and Instagram. Dave, it's your pick next week. What are you going to do for us on Dog Ate Our Homework Month?
Man, I have some very specific interests in movies. I watch a lot of action. I watch a lot of Westerns, and I watch a lot of sci-fi and a lot of foreign films. And at a certain point, every streaming service I use just gives up and starts vomiting up its back catalog of cheap, random foreign action it's bought. And one day, while I was scrolling through, I stumbled upon Sukiyaki Western Django and put it on knowing nothing about it.
What a name!
Yeah, and was very shocked to be greeted by Quentin Tarantino immediately. So we're going to be watching that next week.
Ooh, I'm never pleased.
And you can find out what the fuck he's doing in a movie he didn't direct.
Oh, that makes me feel a little safer. Follow us on Instagram at casey.cinema, like us on Facebook, sh.ttycinema. Donate to our CB Radio Fund, patreon.com/shittycinema or peepshittycinema.com. Check the show notes for those links, and let's turn out the lights. Throw off our jacket. And just be a simple man, like Jack.